Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Well, what a week, huh? Can you believe? Wow. I heard somebody say this, I was listening to the news or something on the way home and on Friday, and it's like, we need a weekend. America needs a weekend. And it's like, you know, because they were commenting, of course, on what a disastrous week it was for the Democrats. But I couldn't help but think about it. If that's the case, that it was a disastrous week because the president was acquitted, the stock market soared, the unemployment numbers were unbelievably good, truly remarkable. I'll talk more about that today because it is just defying all expectations how good it is, right? And the State of the Union address was unbelievable. It was extremely presidential, extremely well done. They're just, what is the State of the Union? It's really good. It's really amazing. And, you know, I'm thinking about that and I'm going, well, okay, maybe the commentator wants a weekend, but I don't think America needs a weekend. America had a great week. Now, if you're rooting for Democrats to have a bad economy, a bad speech, the president be removed from office and turmoil in America, then you're right. It was not a good week. But it just struck me as that we had quite a week. That I know that might be taken politically, but that's not at all what I was saying. This was a good week. A good week for jobs, for the average American. It was a great week, and we finally got past impeachment. You know, I said I'd talk about this because it's just such an amazing thing. But the jobs report on Friday was once again, I mean, this is a broken record, totally a broken record. Unprecedented. Unexpected. It was so good. And people are just shaking their head. Where are people coming from? How are we having all of these jobs? Even as we worry about, and I think there's reasons to worry in the long run, about many jobs being replaced by technology. But the reality is that that's happened for centuries, right? Technology comes along. You don't need as many people to dig a ditch because we have a steam engine, yada, yada. This is something we've dealt with before, you know, creative destruction, right? And in America does it better than anybody else. But three out of the four jobs, this was digging a little beneath the surface, right? Three out of four jobs were created from people re-entering the workforce. They were out of the workforce. Three out of four of the new jobs. So we have 225,000. So nominally, 170,000, somewhere in there, were from people that had not entered the workforce, had given up looking for jobs. They weren't unemployed or employed somewhere else. They were unemployed, but they were out of the workforce. They weren't even counted as potential folks working, which is why the unemployment rate actually ticked up, unimportantly, actually impressively, right? Because that meant so many more people were coming into the workforce. So many more. And this is something that until Trump was in office, we were arguing that our destiny was much slower growth and a very poor job, you know, outlook for the labor markets. Demographics, we were going to shrink, and who was going to have the jobs anyway? We'd need to have people coming in from foreign countries and, you know, and so on, right? You heard all the arguments. Three out of four are brand new. Isn't that something? Doesn't that just, you know how we talk about this all the time? It's like, Maybe we'll talk about it more in the second hour. I really don't even know what I'm going to talk about in the second hour. I really don't. I don't know yet. But the idea of thinking about how things change, and we cling to the old rules. You know, we talk about that all the time, right? We have to be careful. We're not measuring productivity correctly. So when we cling to the old models of productivity that say we have to have inflation because productivity is not growing fast enough and we've got all these people in the workforce, we're counting it wrong. I don't have the right way to count it. That's not what I'm saying. But it's pretty obvious. We're not counting it right. Because this hasn't been true for a decade. And on top of that, it's illogical to think. You know, we just talk about it in business. And this is why we sometimes have to trust our eyeballs, not the blabbering politicians or blabbering economists. There's only a small handful of economists that are ever worth listening to. And I mean that. And you know what famous economists think? There are almost none ever worth listening to. Well, that's a famous statement about economists in the profession of economists, is they make astrologers look good. It is a really bad cling to the books, cling to what you learned 30 years ago or 40 years ago in school, even though your eyes don't say the sky is orange. They say the sky is blue, but you were taught it's orange, and so that's what you have to believe. And it's really horrendous when we think about how quickly, and if you will, Wall Street's like on the cutting edge, right? It's on the cutting edge of inspiring new companies, the digital companies. And what do you do? Well, here's what we do with this little gadget over here. It saves people so much time. It takes care of all of their sales force. It takes care of half of their HR business anymore. You mean we don't need a whole department anymore? That's right. Wow, that's amazing. I'll buy that. And this company, it's right in their faces every single day. And they're still, and then you can watch them. They're going, oh, I just don't need the productivity. Where's it? There's no productivity gain. Something's going on. Ugh. There are a few that get it. And I talk about it all the time, right? It's like John Templeton said. What a brilliant guy. And he lived in a completely different day and age, right? Just totally different. But what a man of the future he really was. He always saw the world, the way I phrase it, is generationally. He saw the world in large chunks of time. Very hard for people to do. So he was really different, right? I mean, he was really different, very wise. We live our life, yes, and we do live our life in the moment. We do need to live in that moment, but we also somehow have to have that tenuous feeling of I'm here, I'm with you right now, I'm in this moment, and at the same time, thinking out 20 and 50 and 100 years where we're going. And he'd pull it back and was the world's greatest investor in that kind of bizarre, mind-bending thought process he had, and he worked hard. But the thing he always said, too, is that when people, you know, the most dangerous words in investing are, this time it's different. But equally, he also said, it's always different. And it's those two opposing tenuous things that say something like, when people get carried away with, say, tech stocks in the late 1990s, where earnings don't matter, it's a .com. All of the stuff of this innovative .com-based, right, digital society was true. But trees don't grow to the sky, at least not in a straight line. And so when he said, this time, this time it's different, is so dangerous, it's so true. When we get carried away, oh, I've seen this before, and people run out and go buy pot stocks anyway, because it's going from 100 to 200 on its way back to 10. And it's not just pot stocks. It's always this new hot thing. What do you know about fill in the blank? And we got plenty of those, and we talk about them now, because I really think we need to be getting in front of these things. You know, artificial intelligence, robotics, 5G. We got to get in front of that. But you may not. But Dave, I don't know anything about it. I don't either, right? I know we need it. I know we pay for it. Cybersecurity, stuff like that. It's all coming like a freight train. But there are people that do know what's going on in those areas. And we got to get in front of it. But we don't want to pay infinite prices, right? No matter how good something is. And on the other hand, things are always different. And that's where we have to trust our instinct, too. No, instincts, no. That's the wrong word. Our eyes, our intelligence, our common sense. This is different. People have told me for years, for tens of thousands of points, this can't happen. We see it in individuals all the time, right? Where somebody like a Michael Jordan is cut from a basketball team in ninth grade. Like, what? Greatest basketball player that ever lived? Seriously? Wouldn't want to be that coach, right? It's just, wow. I mean, we see that and we applaud that on an individual basis, but think about that from a societal basis. What's different out there? What can we understand and see that everybody else is just running around in circles and paying no attention? Or they're just wrong because all they do is ever cling to what they learned in college, even though the world is changing. He said, well, if you can't measure it and all that, what do you talk about this productivity thing? Because I think it's one of the most important things. I think it's really important because we don't have any inflation in anything either. And we have a workforce that just keeps expanding. Where's all the inflationary pressures? If any of the old rules applied, we should have 10% interest rates and 15% inflation with an economy this hot. Just try to choke it off. And with all the printed money out there and all those things that everybody said, don't you think sometimes we just have to stop and go, you know, that's just, you go ahead and be mad at the billionaires. You go ahead and be jealous of this guy because he has a nicer car, hotter babe, whatever it is. Okay? Play the comparison game. It works really good in life. It'll steer you just perfectly, right? You'll make all good decisions. Comparing and envying others. But when we actually look at the numbers as another example of how good it is and how broad this is, these are not made up numbers. This is a deep study that says, all right, so we report these numbers that the billionaires are the highest paid, 1%, make, you know, a gazillion times what the lowest people make. All right? We just accept that. Even though it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like anybody's starving. It doesn't feel like you have kings and a bunch of serfs in our world. Not at all. It doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like people are doing very well all around me. I pay lots and lots of money every time somebody wants to fix something or build something at your house or your office. They're doing really well. So when we actually look at the numbers in a real way, a common sense way, where we include on the lowest end the fact that they don't pay any taxes, they may even get government subsidies, and many do, all do at the lowest levels. And the fact of the matter is if I make $1 million a year or $5 million a year, I don't get to take $5 million and go spend it. No, 2.5 of it goes to the government. Maybe another 50,000, 100,000, whatever, another 10% goes off to the state governments. That's true everywhere. But guess what they do? They don't measure that. I mean, that's just beyond stupid. All that matters is what drops to the bottom line. And the reality is it's like four times the amount, 4.3 to 1. We're measuring stuff wrong. It's silly. It's silly. Which is why if we use our eyes, we see that. That doesn't make sense. I don't see people suffering around me anywhere. I see people suffering down here. They're homeless because they have addictions and thank God, and I mean this, thank God there's a place like the Boise Rescue Mission because they're amazing and they're there for those people. I'm not talking about you can't see them. I'm talking about working people. And yeah, housing costs are too high. I get it. There are problems when we see them, but we are not starving out there. And when we don't stop and look and say, why aren't they telling me I'm really suffering here? I don't feel like I'm suffering. Then you're right to start questioning it and look at the numbers. We don't measure everything very many things we don't measure well. We just don't. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I almost blew this whole hour here, huh? I got to get a quick break in the way out of the way. And I need your calls. 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, I would love to hear from you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's also Dave at PetsoFinancial.net if you prefer email. You know, we're talking about this. This is just an astounding, it was an astounding week. It was just amazing. America had a really, really good week this week. I suppose if you think America is a terrible place and you don't want the unemployment rate to be at record low levels, et cetera, that you think a presidential impeachment is a good thing in our country, the fact that wages are growing crazily now at the lowest levels more rapidly than the highest paid people, then it was a bad week, but it was a great week for America. And the numbers are just astounding. And I didn't even touch on what's going on with earnings. Once again, the doomsdayers, where corporate profits have peaked, margins have peaked. That's another thing they don't measure well, right? I mean, because margins just continue to do well. Margins are, it's a big word, and I don't, you know, margins are... If we make a dollar, how much does it cost us for that, you know, a dollar of sales? What does that cost? You know, in some companies, literally, it's, you know, $1.10, so they have negative margins, right? They're losing money with every sale. That can happen, certainly, in a price-sensitive area, or you're just growing the business so rapidly because and your costs are exploding. You're trying to build a market, so to speak, right? Facebook did that. And Amazon did that. So we see that, but margins typically are something like, here's your iPhone. What if it costs $1,000? What did it actually cost Apple to make? And you've got your gross margins, net margins, all those things. And I don't want to get in the weeds. What I'm saying is, for a long time, economists have said, hey, margins are at peak levels, and that can't keep up. But it has. Year after year. Tens of thousands. I just don't see it being very long before we hit 30,000 on the Dow. Do you? We're what, 29 now? 30,000. You know, the 20,000 that's hanging on the wall at the office, the newspaper, it hasn't had time to yellow yet. You know, we are on a tear. As we always are. Always. It's crazy. It really is. Markets go to all-time highs, and people sit around and guess at it. They really do. It makes no sense. None at all. Why guess it? Just play. Get in and play. All right. We've got to take a break here for Fox News. We'll talk to you in hour number two. I hope you'll stick around. Hello and welcome. Hey, thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Call. We do. We want to talk to you. I'm not sure what I'm going to talk about this hour. I've got some ideas. We'll start and see what happens, okay? But I want to talk about what you all want to talk about. And as always, these are my opinions and my opinions only. We're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell. Tell you the hot stocks, the hot thing to go do, and then go on to something else. That's not entertainment. That's just stupid. Stupid waste of time. And actually, thought. It takes brain space, right? It takes file space in your brain to wonder about that stuff. I'll tell you honestly, you know, sometimes we all have our real productive days and our not so productive days, right? And there's times that, you know, there's a lot going on market-wise. So people are bringing in money. There's just a lot going on, right? And so you've got to try to get that to work. You need to be focused. Well, the thing you don't want to be focusing on is the day-to-day, well, I wonder what the market's doing now. I wonder what that literally takes your eye off the ball. It ruins productivity, And what you're really looking for is that big picture, not the minutiae. We get caught up, as I was alluding to in the first hour, we get kind of caught up in that day-to-day stuff, and we don't think about what's coming in 5, 10, and 20 years. It seems so long ago. Well, I'm not 60 yet, but I'm kind of starting to knock on that door, right? And I tell you what, a couple more blinks of the eye and I'll be there. Hard to believe, right, that I have grandchildren. And I know I'm stating the obvious, but when you stop and you think about that, we all, no wonder we all think we're 20, 30 years old, because it just goes fast. But the thing that does also goes even faster is the news cycle of what we worry about. We worry about the coronavirus, then we worry about something else, and we worry about impeachment, we worry about the Dems going out of control, we worry about a socialist becoming president, we worry about inflationary wages, we worry about them not going up enough, we worry about the jobs report. And then, of course, the big thinkers, you know, out there, the ones that will tell you all about the Shiller, you know, like Shiller himself, you know, the Shiller P.E. ratio. It's good. You know, if it had followed his advice, you never would have caught one penny of the last 20,000 Dow points. Not one. But man, when he's on, he is the Nobel Prize winning Robert Shiller. Can't wait to get him on there. If people like El Arian, he's never right. He hasn't been right for 10 years. He's the guy that came up with the new norm. New norm? What new norm? The one with the skyrocketing returns for stocks? That norm? He's never, ever seen a market or anything he likes. He's still a spokesperson. I'm sure he makes good money doing it. So we have to be careful with all these inputs or where we're thinking. Are we really watching the right things? Do we want on the ongoing basis? Frightening. And I think we get so, when we do this, of course, then it becomes dangerous, 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 because we don't know. And so we get scared. Nobody knows the future. And so up from the future rises fear. Always. We all think we're above it in some way or another, right? Very few would be honest and say, I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of this. I don't know. I don't want to be poor again. Or whatever it is, right? I'm afraid of dying. Lots of things. But when it comes to the markets and all, I'm afraid of losing money. And this is one that baffles me. It truly baffles me. Yeah, I realize that the look, I'm not here to beat up education. They should be self-flagellating, okay? They really should. They're so absurd. They just need more money, but then they never teach better or different. It's gotten ridiculous. We don't teach history. We certainly don't teach economics. So people do not understand the stock market. One of the, if not the fundamental underpinnings of why you and I and everybody around us has the highest standard of living in the world. In the world. By so far, nothing's even close. And in fact, we have such abundance that we have infused that around the world. They grow faster because we exist. And we're like 5% of the world's population. That's how amazing we are. You know, we invent 90% of the stuff, but we're 5% of the people. We have over half the world's wealth in stocks, certainly. And a small percentage of the population. It's just amazing. But, you know, I know, but we don't get it right. And we need to tax the rich. And we got to do this. We got to figure out how to do socialism. Because we can do it. Because we're so oppressed. It's amazing. It's astounding. And that kind of negativity continues to permeate markets. It's like hearing these clowns, the safe money clowns. You mean the stolen money clowns? I know it's legal, so I shouldn't say that. It's legal. It's legal because the Department of Insurance allows it. It's legal to steal people's money, to say things that aren't true. We all know you don't get market participation without risk. You don't. We know that, right? You don't. So the big give up is the problem that we all have with this, right? They don't tell the truth. Now, if you were a licensed person, you're a certified financial planner, you have a fiduciary responsibility to clients like registered investment advisories, like me and most do, you have to have full disclosure, right? So here's the full disclosure. It won't work. It doesn't work. And so I'm still mystified because people know that, and they know that in their gut, right? Your grandmother knew that. And she didn't get through ninth grade. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. Just start there. And many things will become very clear. But we get fearful of something that we don't understand. That's understandable. But what is confusing to me and has been confusing to me is why we are so afraid of something that has done so well for so long and nothing else is even close. And requires nothing of you. It's almost like it ought to be illegal, right? It's just like, you mean I get rich and I just do this and I don't have to have any management responsibility? That's correct. Huh? What? That's just crazy. What's crazy is that we worry about every point move. Is the market overvalued? Is the market overvalued? Is the market? You know what? For 20,000 points, we've heard that. 20,000 points. And we'll keep hearing it. And by the way, we have had corrections. Many of them. On our way to all-time highs. It doesn't go away. You don't lose money. Never have. When you don't overreact. 10% a year for your entire life. And I didn't even ask you how old you are. Because it's 10 for all of us. If you're 85 years old or you're 35 years old. And all of them in between. It's 10. It's what the market does. But we fuss about it. We grind about it. We grind our teeth down to nothing. I don't know. The market's high. Rah, rah, rah. I'm worried about rah, rah, rah. Fill in the blanks. I just heard this guy over here scaring the snot out of everybody. And he sounded really smart. I know. He has stared the snot out of people for 20 years. He's never right. But he sounds really smart. I know. And it leads us to make these bad decisions. So it is. I'm confused, though, when it seems so obvious. So easy. So low cost. Why we figure out how it won't work when it always has. It shouldn't have that much fear. If you have an idea, let me know. I mean, seriously. If you have an idea of why, well, I think you got a book right there. All right. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Let's go to Randy. Randy in New Plymouth. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Dave. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Thank you.
Hey, I was confused on your previous hour when you were talking about inflation, how we need to figure it differently. And I was wondering, you know, with the price of houses in the area, with rent and so on, how does that affect inflation? I mean, and could you explain that? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Well, Randy, here, let me give you a couple of things on that before you hang up, okay?
Okay.
And then just to make sure we're on the same page here. First of all, I'm talking broadly about inflation in the system. There is, I'm sure you heard that too. How housing is a problem. There's no question. The cost, the price of housing, of rentals is skyrocketed, especially, you know, in the Boise area, right? So people are going to have to move further out. They do in any big booming city, and Boise certainly is. And then also with the CCDC and all the criminal taxes they take in downtown Boise, and now they've expanded, right? So all the new apartments have to pay higher taxes, which is going to do what? raise the rents again. And so it is. It's a very. It's hard to be in the Boise area, and make enough money when you're getting started. So I'm not saying that there aren't areas that need to be worked on, thought about, and that are in heavy inflation pressure. What I'm referring to, though, that we I think we have to be thinking about measuring is not the simplicity of, hey, rents go up X percent year over year. That's easy. What isn't so easy is figuring out how much longer a car lasts, for example, or do we just take the car or the computer, right? We used to have to repair or replace computers every 6 months in a business, right? When they first came out.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
Now I can't remember the last one, right? Or it's like, okay, oh, we don't need this. It's time to get a new one. So we get one new one, then we keep moving the old ones, right? Because anyway, that's 10 years. So is that fair to say, you know, the price is still $1,500 for a really top of the line? It's not. I know those costs have gone down. But for businesses, that's my point. If it lasts 10 years instead of 1 year, and we don't account for that, and the same thing with cars that go instead of 50,000 before they need an engine change, like when I was a kid, right? They go 250,000, 300,000 miles. But instead, we simply say, remember the good old days when a car cost $6,000 and broke down all the time, or $6,000 and it broke down all the time? Okay. I'll prefer the one that costs $25,000, but it goes and goes and goes, right? And has less ongoing costs. But what we say in inflation is that car costs $20,000 more. And that's all inflation, and what I'm saying is we have to try to measure that in there, not just that rents are going higher, food costs in many ways are coming down, but we don't measure it that way, right? We just measure one little basket year to year, and when we get more food costs coming down and technology delivering products, can you believe, for example, what you can have delivered to your door for like $50 came from somewhere in the world, and they show up and drop it on your door through Amazon or whatever? I'm blown away. I don't even know anymore when I go to a place like Macy's or something. I do my, you know, like once every 2 year shopping thing. I can't believe how cheap it is to get a nice suit. I mean, a quality suit. That didn't used to be the case, right? It used to cost a good bit. A good bit. I mean, back when, you know, $200 was a much more serious amount of money, you got an inferior suit to what you get for $180 today, right? That's what I mean by that, is how much more stuff is available to us and choices out there. We don't have to go eat out every night. That's what's going up. You don't have to go travel all the time. That's what's going up. And also, to your point, housing costs are, and we do have to keep our eye on that. So I don't mean to be insensitive to people who are trying like heck to get started in life. It's tough in a bigger city like Boise.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you.
Hey, Randy, thank you. I appreciate your call. Thank you.
You bet.
And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Hey, Terry, we got to take a quick break, so you hang on for me, okay? We want to give you due justice on your phone call. And that's right. There's three other lines available, 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That's our number. If you prefer email, that's fine. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I think I've got a really good email to read and answer here in a little bit. I'm hoping she's listening because she actually sent it yesterday. So anyway, our number once again is 580-KIDO. Let's go to a very patient Terry. Terry, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Professor. How you doing?
Good. I'm well. Thank you, sir.
You were talking about Robert Shuler and his index and all.
Yeah.
Well, just to give you the viability of the Nobel Commission, they nominated Greta Thunberg for a Peace Prize.
Even I'll give you a better one. How about Obama before he even did anything?
Well, yeah. So it comes back to you have to consider the capability of who you're going to listen to, or the credibility.
Yeah, that's for sure. You're absolutely right, Terry. That's in fact, it is that group is really tainted. It's really too bad, right? It's all political all the time. And anyway, you know, it's probably a nice thing they wanted to do because I think, wasn't it Nobel that he came up with like dynamite or something?
Dynamite,
wasn't
it? Sure.
Yes, yes. And he felt so bad about it in his latter years, he created a Peace Prize. So, foundation.
But in going on why people are not listening anymore, it's just people are trying to make people mad all the time.
Mm.
I didn't get mad when the Flanderer-in-Chief was doing his Me Too stuff back in the day. Pardon me, Clinton. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their so wrapped around the axle with the Mr. President Trump. It's in a geometric out of whack. Mm-hmm. I don't know have the right words for this, but people are just stopping and getting mad instead of stopping and saying, what does this have to do with the temperature of the water in my pool?
Right, yeah.
They just want to be mad instead.
They do, and there is an awful lot of anger. I say you're right, there's a whole cottage industry of anger. There is. It's called news. It's called fake news. And on top of that, Terry, it's creates a whole lot of fear, too, for people. You know, like, that I always am talking about and fighting and saying, we just need to use some common sense here. You don't want phony products with high commissions and hide in there, and they won't work. Get out and play the game. Be part of it. And understand you've never lost. Not in the long run, but people don't. It's fear sells.
The boy was talking about a fella he talked to that was all depressed and feeling bad, a young 20-something-year-old that was had a job, had a truck, is paying his bills, and was feeling all kinds of depressed because everybody's saying he's not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Instead of just stepping back and saying, you're doing pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to, that's where you have to convince people, how upset am I going to get about this? No, I'm doing well. I'm eating regularly, and the bills are paid.
Yeah, yeah. And it's okay also that somebody else is doing really well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And maybe even better. That's okay. That's the world of freedom. That's the world of abundance. You're doing fine. Just be there. This contentment, right? We just aren't content.
Something to try to aspire to. Look at what this guy did. Heck, give me a little time and a little luck, and I'll be there too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I'm not going hungry here. I'm doing all right. I don't know. It's a funny, funny world. It is, Terry. I think that it's sad because I think we miss a lot of happiness in life that is just right there in front of us. You know, it's right there.
It's more fun to laugh and really piss them off. Oh, pardon me, I didn't say that, did I?
No, you did not.
Yeah, but one thing to go back to the investing side of the house is I learned a long time ago, you invest money that you don't need in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yes, right, right.
Once you set up your goals or your standards in that and stick to it, you've got a good habit started. Mm-hmm. And now it gets easier after that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, you know what? It's also when we think about that, there's many. When you're owning a company, a great corporation that say has been raising its dividends for decades, right?
Yeah.
And you're using that and living off of it. What possible difference does it make if that particular price per share goes from $50 to $40, or $50 to $60? You're living off the dividend. It only matters like when you're dead.
Yeah. And then
they price it and they sell it. That's it.
That's what we're having you do is collect a whole bunch of the game tokens for when I die so the grandson and the son can live real good.
That's right. Or you need a new spa. There you go.
Well, no, hell, in the last week or so, we bought and or done transactions on 4 different vehicles to keep people in better cars.
Yeah.
So I have that freedom. Just walk over and say, all right, we can do that. And you get a good deal and get money moving around and it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we got, you know, everybody's driving a better car. One guy's got a collector car and everybody's just got these big white grins on their face.
And that's very generous of you to help them. So that's good. Thank you.
Oh, no. Well, that makes my grin that much bigger. Altruism works different sometimes when you're warped like I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not. As a matter of fact, Terry, it's biblical. The giving is better than receiving.
And charity begins at home. Yeah, sorry, that's another one.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sir, and you have a good day.
You have a beautiful day yourself. Thanks for the call.
All right, Dave. Bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We need to take a quick break. Fox News time. And we've got a clear board, so please do ring us up. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number to call. And we do have three lines available right now. Let's run over to Jacob and Meridian. Jacob, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how are you doing today, sir?
Well, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Quick question for you. I'm refinancing my house, and I'm looking into wondering if I should roll my truck payment into the refi of my house. The new interest rate on my mortgage will be lower than both my mortgage and my truck interest rate on my truck as it is. But I know it extends the truck payment out. So I'm wondering financially wise, money wise, if it is a smart move or not.
It can be either. It depends what you do. And let me make that clear as I can, okay? That truck payment will go away, and I don't like truck payments. That's a depreciating asset sitting out there, and as soon as it gets paid off, about 90% of the people go right back to the showroom because now their payment's gone, and they're going to go get another payment instead of moving forward. So, again, I'm not going to go into a big lecture about a car payment. I just want to get you to the point where you're not having a car payment, right, of any kind.
Correct.
And then we want to save that money.
That's the only debt I have is my house and my truck.
Okay. Well, good for you. Okay. But now we want to make it only the house, right? We don't want to free up the truck, and now we have room for another payment, if that makes sense. I want you to now, but let's just pretend and use these numbers, okay? So we're going to roll it on up, but my car payment, truck payment's $500 a month, okay? Just play along. It's $500 a month. I want you to put that on the house for the same period of time that you would have been paying for the truck.
That's what I was planning on doing.
Okay.
Keeping both payments, what the both payments would have been,
correct,
and keep paying it on the, even though it's higher than the actual bill, keep paying it.
Yes, and if you do that, then it is a good financial move. If you don't do that, then it's a bad financial move because you know what you're going to do? You're going to make that truck payment, and then one day it'll go away. Because if you don't make that truck payment, they're going to take it away. You don't have a truck payment that you have to make now. So it's going to be up to your own responsibility that this is how I'm moving forward, and I'm going to this is a good financial decision by rolling it in. I agree with that. As long as you're making the payments. There's only one other reason not to make those payments. If you're going to put this money in a Roth IRA, I'm assuming you're doing some 401k at work. Is that true?
Yes, both.
Good. If you're doing all that and you take this $500 and knock it down on your house, you're on your way, Jacob. And just the fact you're listening to the show, I don't think you're a financial basket case. So don't take anything I've taken personally. If you're listening, you're trying to grow out there, this is great. Just try to save up next time for a truck, car, whatever it is, boat, anything, any toys you should be paying cash for. And I don't care what toys you buy. They're all, that's your life, right? It's your fun. I don't care if you use it and go to jackpot, right? It doesn't matter as long as you are taking care of business, right? And that means not getting into debt. And so that's all I'm saying. Get that $500, put it into either an account for the next truck, and even better, do some of that as well as knocking down that house payment, okay?
Awesome. Hey, thank you very much.
You
have got
it. Thank you. Great call. Have a good day. And let's go ahead and go to Jim. Jim, how are you today?
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going very well.
Yeah, my grandfather, I like to go through life and pick up all sorts of wisdom, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather, his main thing was, if you don't have cash for something, you don't need it, and debt is bad.
Yeah.
And I wanted to congratulate you. Today, you've actually had two legitimate calls.
Two? You're making the fourth.
One was on the high cost of housing and inflation.
Yeah.
And then this last one was, it reminds me of when I was renting way back and making car payments and all that.
Yep. Yeah, we've all been there, and you know what? That's just awesome. And you know what I think is so awesome, too? You know, that young man is probably, I'm guessing, who knows, but he sounds like he had a little younger voice than you do, for example.
Oh, yeah.
And so, anyway, and it sounds like he's, you know what? And he's listening to this show, right? He's trying to learn some stuff. I think it's great. It's awesome. It's awesome.
And I just, the reason I called was too much, as you say, noise or news, and not just financial. I mean, with all these stations that have news 24 hours a day, for instance, the latest news bulletin was that there was a house fire in Mississippi.
Right.
Give me a break. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, that is local, but should remain local, you know? It's too bad that somebody had a house fire in Mississippi, but does the world or the U.S. need to know about it?
That's a really fair point, because there is no news. That's what that tells you. It is tragic. I was, you know, I mean, it's like, right, it still sticks with me, right? Ages 1 to 33, right?
Right.
That's a lot of people. Six people in one house fire is a real tragedy. But you're right. It doesn't change anything in the world, and it's going to happen tomorrow in Bangladesh or somewhere else, right?
Yep. A while back, there was a story about, I think it was the governor of Alabama, a lady, apparently was walking her dog, and the leash, you know, she tripped over the dog, and that was news.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, well, it does. It's a funny world, and you're right. We're just overreported, and on top of that, people feel bad because they don't look as perfect as a Kardashian.
You know, the thing is, as you go through life, and I think this is just in regular, assuming that you don't have a real tragedy, you know, you're struggling, you know, you have your apartment, you want to get a house, you're making car payments, but when you look back on it, you do think of those as the good old days, you know, and money needs to mean something. If you have too much money and money doesn't mean anything to you, that's not a good thing, you know?
Right. No, it's true. I think that is true, the struggle when you're young. But, you know, as you get older, too, it is sometimes harder to be happy, just generally happy. It's not now. I mean that different from contentment, right?
Right.
We are content. We tend to kind of go, you know what? I am content, right? That's a learned thing. I don't have to have a bigger car than somebody else to be happy, right? We learn that contentment, but it is harder day to day. We see when we're young, we've got goals, ambitions, and they're just like right there, you know, and we're striving for them. So we do look back at those times as a happy time, even though, man alive, was it hard, right?
Right.
And it is. And that's just part of life. But I do. It's, you know, you're right. We do miss the struggle sometimes.
Yeah. And that's, anyway, I mean, in my case, you know, I used to volunteer a lot more when I actually was working, you know.
Yep.
And it's the old thing of, if you want something done, give it to a busy person to do.
It's absolutely true and totally true. I know my most productive days for everything are when I'm the busiest. It's so true. And if people retire and come in all the time and say that, they'll say stuff like, you know, I just can't, I don't know when I had time to get it all done. And I go, well, I do. Now it takes you till 10 o'clock in the morning to have a cup of coffee and read the paper, because it can, right? And so you get nothing done. It takes vast amounts of time to do anything, and because you have that time.
And the important thing, if you can do it, is relate to the younger generations.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're a whole different species, so, you know.
They are, but we should. They're also, it's like, and they're not all like that. Like the young man that called in here just to... few minutes ago, right before you, right? That was, you know, just getting some, I just want to get on track, and, you know, and I just want to do this the right way. Now,
yeah,
who
I mean,
wouldn't be happy to help somebody
to
like that?
Somebody that I could relate to, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, all right. Well, have a great week.
You do the same, Jim. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now. And let's go ahead and go over to Ted in Melba. Ted, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah. What I got going is I have a son with a disability, has a low IQ. And I don't expect him to, also because of some physical problems, he may not be able to work later in life when I'm gone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So generally what I plan to do is put a trust in him, and he actually can end up with my mutual funds and stuff that generates some income. But I was considering building a duplex that he could live in one side, and then the other side would generate some income to maintain the property, make sure all, you know, the taxes get paid, insurance, all that other stuff. And also just, you know, maybe a little bit of income on top of that. Do you think that's a good idea? Because he would not pay the taxes, and I could see that stuff falling behind.
That's a tough deal. You're right. So I was really going to push back on that specific point. Ted, if he's disabled, the question is how and is that disability going to be held firm or is it deteriorating? You see what I'm getting at. Will he be able
I would have to have somebody manage this, the money that comes to him, you know what I mean?
I do.
And, of course, they'd have to manage the duplex also.
Yeah, so I'm not sure of that, as probably I would think that it might be easier to have somebody helping or managing if it wasn't a rental situation. It was, here, I've got my stuff, and now I'm going to produce income for my son, and here's a little house, like, for example, right? This is something small, capable of being there by himself. Just maybe need somebody to look in on and pay the property taxes, to your point. Make sure that there's not anything dramatically wrong. Would be easier than also having a rental to worry about as well. So if you're looking for something like that, I'm not saying don't buy him a home. It's just I would tend to think let's try to focus on him and not giving a project to the trustee going forward, which would be a rental.
I see. Just too much hassle. In other words,
I think so.
Even though I'm trying to see if I could take that other $100,000 rather than put it into a mutual fund and paying some interest off of that. That the house would be a better income flow, but
Not necessarily, and certainly history says no. Okay, and you're not dead yet, so we're not talking about that now. If it's something you're making plans, I would probably find a single house, get this done, and also the rules have changed. So if your son's receiving Medicaid and things like that, SSI, then you are, he wasn't able to get money before, and now he is, and it can be put in a trust. What is that darn rule? I just can't think of it. I'm hoping somebody will text me that, but I can't think of it right now, but it's just like 2 years old where you can do that, and it's very low cost, or it's a really cool thing. So be aware of that. And make sure you get some expert advice in this area, because you don't want to set it up where he would lose his SSI because money was coming in.
Yeah, okay. I understand.
Okay. All right.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Ted, thank you. Have a good day.
Goodbye.
Bye now. And we do have to take a quick break here. Rich, Keith, you hang on. We got to take our final break this hour. And anyway, it's 580 KIDO. We'll be right back.